let's talk about church today. Are you in a place where you're thinking about staying or leaving and you're really wrestling with that? Maybe the kids have left home and you're not really sure if you should stay where you're at because you went there for them? This week we're going to be talking about should I stay or should I go, and what it means to wrestle through that process of deciding if you should stay in your church. Welcome to Life Repurposed. This is where midlife meets inspiration, practical guidance, and renewed purpose amid life's evolving chapters. We navigate faith questions and messy, uncertain twists with humor and a commitment to pursue treasure, even in the hard stuff. I'm your host, Michelle Rayburn, the author of books and Bible studies about finding hope in the trashy stuff of life. Many parents find themselves in a unique situation when it comes to attending church. They may attend regularly, serve faithfully, and even invest deeply in the church community, but not necessarily because of their own personal comfort or spiritual growth. It might be that they went there because of their children. This is a common thing, actually, where parents prioritize their kids' spiritual upbringing and their involvement above their own preferences or beliefs. There was a time in our life when we relocated and we were trying to decide where we should go to church, and our deciding factor ended up being our kids. Where will we be the closest to them and still within kind of the boundaries we had set? You know, like back in the day when you were had horse and buggy, you just went to the church that was in your neighborhood. You know, now you have to decide, do we want to drive 5 miles or 10 miles or 30 miles? And then within that range that we're willing to go, what churches feel comfortable to us? And we ended up choosing a church that would be great for our family, that would be a place where we would all be comfortable with the people. But I also knew that preference-wise, it wasn't exactly where I really longed to be. And yet I kind of got to a place where I was okay with that because I knew that sometimes God puts you in a place for a reason and it stretches you and grows you and all of that. And I knew that would be really great for the kids. As a result of choosing something for the family, parents might find themselves attending church and volunteering for ministries and participating in events and programs primarily to support their kids' involvement. And they might even overlook doctrinal differences or personal preferences or feelings of spiritual stagnation in order to create that positive and enriching experience for their kids. However, there is a challenge with that because it means that sometimes parents neglect their own spiritual growth and their relationship with God even in the process. And it might be noble and admirable to prioritize the well-being of the children. Parents also have to remember that their own faith journey and relationship with God are important. And so they can't rely solely on the church community to nurture their spiritual life and, you know, the personal devotion that comes with that, studying the word, prayer, actively participating in the body of Christ. All of those things help with their own growth and maturity. But then there comes a time when the kids grow up. They move out. They establish their own lives apart from us. They pick their own churches. They go to their own places. And in these cases, here we are as parents. We've stayed at a church potentially for those children. And now we find ourselves disconnected or disoriented because all of the things we were doing for them are now gone. And then we struggle to find our place in that church community because our kids are not the primary motivator for our attendance and our involvement. And this often leads us to a place where we have some challenging and introspection where we're thinking about and reevaluating our reasons for attending a particular church. And that can really create some unrest as we wrestle through that. Maybe even some questioning of our own faith foundations, not salvation, but just, you know, how do I live out my faith? And my husband and I went through some of this after our kids left home. My husband was having a time of sabbatical where we decided we'll just take a break from where we're serving at church and visit some other places during that time, because going to those other places allowed us to ask some questions and really seek God, like, where would you want us to be? And at the end of that time, at the end of about 9 weeks, we did come to a conclusion that God was just calling us somewhere else. Now, there are other reasons why someone might stay in a church where it doesn't feel like the right fit for them. Maybe it's your spouse. At the end of that sabbatical time, if we had come to a place where we weren't on the same page, we would have stayed and continued working through and thinking through. And maybe even one of us would have to compromise if we couldn't come to an agreement. Maybe you're staying somewhere because your spouse is the pastor and you can't go someplace else. So you, even if you don't have children at home, you might have a reason for why you're staying in a particular place. It might be that your work requires you to go to a particular church. There was a time, this is also changing, but there was a time when if you taught at a Christian school, you had to attend a particular church that was affiliated with that school. So there are many reasons for why you may be staying in a particular place. I discovered that when the kids left home and it was just the two of us, we started asking those questions about whether or not God was calling us somewhere else. It's really important for us to acknowledge this restlessness. And so today's midlife mixtape track is a double hit. With one side, My Heart Will Move On, and the other side being, Should I Stay or Should I Go? So today we're going to wrestle through those. Is our heart moving on, or are we staying, or is God sending us in a new place? In midlife, it's actually common to feel a sense of restlessness and dissatisfaction with our current spiritual journey because we start to rethink some things. This restlessness can be a catalyst for growth and transformation. It prompts us to explore new avenues of faith and belief. And so it's essential to acknowledge and embrace these feelings rather than suppressing them if you're experiencing them, because this is all important in your own spiritual evolution. It's really okay to take some time to reflect on your spiritual journey thus far and to look at the teachings and the traditions and the practices that have shaped your faith. And then you can identify what aspects resonate with you deeply and what doesn't serve your spiritual growth. This self-reflection can help you discern the direction in which your spiritual path is going to lead you and where God is going to take you. So I encourage you, if this is you, to not shy away from it, not run away from it. We're going to talk about it with the rest of this episode, and then I encourage you to continue reflecting after this episode. There was an article in Christianity Today a couple years ago, and it was titled, The Church is Losing Its Gray Heads. Why are Boomers and Gen X dropping out of church at higher rates than younger Christians? I'll link to this in the show notes too if you're a subscriber. I think you have to be a subscriber to read it. I am, so I can read it, but you can take a look at it. There are some statistics there from Barna and from Pew Research, quite a bit of information there, but in this article, Ryan Burge, who is a researcher, said, people rarely quit church for dramatic reasons like scandal or abuse. The reality is that most people leave for very practical reasons. They could move, life becomes busy, and church is not as convenient as it was once was. And he said, some people can't even articulate why they left in a coherent way. They just did. So if you're somebody who is like, I can't even articulate why I want to go, you are not alone. There are other people who cannot articulate why they want to leave the church they're in. In that article, Pastor Kate Murphy, who's from The Grove in Charlotte, North Carolina, who has pastored a church that was dying, she said she has seen people leave, and more often than not, it was over personal preferences. But God used other people in her life to cause her to think more deeply, the article says. Murphy said, it was so easy to sit inside the sanctuary and think about the people who were choosing to go to brunch or choosing to mow their lawns on Sunday morning or choosing to sign their kids up for a sports league that played on Sunday morning. She said it was easy to look at their choices and think, well, those people don't think as deeply as we do. They don't care as deeply as we do. They don't take God as seriously as we do. The article says that in the end, she realized that her church wasn't meeting people's spiritual needs. She said, when people come looking for spiritual transformation and looking for tools that make life in this broken world bearable, we don't have them, and so people walk away. That made me think, because I'm going to get to this a little bit later in the episode, why when we say something is not meeting someone's spiritual needs, it does not mean that they are just a bunch of people who are self-centered, self-focused, and craving me, me, me. we really do have to look at whether church is meeting people's spiritual needs. This is a bigger can of worms than I can open today, but it is really important for us to realize that when churches get wrapped up in political issues and other issues that are not part of spiritual growth, it's just one example of how that distraction takes us away from meeting people's spiritual needs. And so the church has changed overall. And I'm saying the church in general, because every church has its own version of change. But it's important to know that the mindset has changed, the way we live things out has changed. And so that affects how people connect with church. All right, so let's talk about finding your spiritual home. Too often we find ourselves wrestling with the tension of wanting something different from our faith foundations while simultaneously feeling a strong attachment to those roots. So this is kind of a really good explanation for how we ended up attending a church that wasn't really what I said I longed for. When we were moving, I said, this is a time for us to start over. I don't want to just go to a church exactly like the one we've been at. This is our chance for a fresh start. And what did we do? We ended up at a church that was almost identical to the one that we had been going to. And again, it was because it was the best fit for our family. There was nothing wrong with the church. It just matched the traditions, the very ones that I was longing to break out of and have something different. Now, we're exploring the idea here that it's okay to deviate from the tradition in which we were raised, but we do not have to remain in abusive situations. And that sometimes that gets tangled up in there. But preserving our faith means making the difficult decision sometimes to leave one church for another. And we're not even going to get into the abuse part of it. So if that's your story, there are many other podcasts that cover that. And so it's just not part of the story that we're covering today. Although, like I said, it might be really tangled up in some of your reasons that you're processing through right now. As we journey through life, our perspectives, our beliefs, and our priorities naturally evolve. This is especially true in that mid-adulthood when we find ourselves questioning some aspects of our faith upbringing that once were unquestionable. Like those were the sacred cows, which I've heard a joke at one point in my life that sacred cows make great hamburger. So if you haven't heard that one, you're very welcome. There's your joke for today. Maybe it's a pun. I don't know. I guess it's not that funny. Our spiritual paths are unique and they're meant to be dynamic and not stagnant. So it's okay to start looking at that and wrestling with the things that once we were not allowed to question. Sadly, some people have found themselves in toxic or abusive environments in those faith communities, like I said, and staying in a situation like this is not a requirement for preserving your faith. You actually can leave an abusive environment, and it can be a powerful act of self-care and spiritual growth. So this episode, like I said, is not about that, but there are other podcasts that cover that. This is really about the process of wrestling through whether you should persevere where you are or pursue a new path in a different place. I told you about my husband's sabbatical, and ultimately, at the end of that sabbatical, we decided God was nudging us to go somewhere else. And strangely, 9 years after that, we're in that place again, and I never expected it to be that way because I used to be so critical of people who left after a certain amount of time. Like, I really thought there was something wrong with them and that they were just selfish, I guess, was my thought. And so here I am in those shoes and it feels really awkward and strange. And so just putting that out there because my husband and I are currently in a place where we are attending a different church from where we've been for the last 9 years, and we're actually not finally decided on whether we're staying there or not. And so I can't even walk through that on this podcast right now because we still have more questions than answers, although we feel like we're getting really close to having some direction there. But I was drawn to Natalie Runyon's book. It's titled Raised to Stay because of where I'm at in this journey. And a friend and I have been meeting over Zoom to discuss chapters because we're both wrestling with some of those same things. And we finished the book, and I wanted to share some insights here and really discuss the topics a little bit. Raised to Stay, the book, made me think, but it didn't tell me what to think. In fact, I disagreed with the author in many places, but it was a catalyst for thought. And I love that. When a book doesn't tell me what to think, but it gets me thinking, that's good. And there are so many things in the book that did resonate with me, and I want to share a few nuggets with you. For example, here's one that Natalie Runyon said in the book. Sometimes on this journey of wandering, wondering, and wrestling, going can be misunderstood to look like leaving by those who feel invested in our lives. It can appear as if we're quitting. It might be perceived as abandonment, failure, or rejection when the direction God is asking us to go doesn't come with a warranty, a five-year plan, or a GPS. That's on page 173. Essentially, she's saying exactly how I felt. Like, I've looked at people before who have left and said, wow, you've abandoned us. And what she's saying is, maybe it's not leaving, but it's going. It is God sending us somewhere. And so she talks about the idea that when we leave a church, it doesn't mean we're leaving the relationships that we had there or leaving the appreciation we have for the people there. In another place, she says, we can go without leaving. We can move on without causing division. We can outgrow one assignment as God makes room for another. That's on page 168. Natalie was talking about how our hearts don't always leave. We still love the people. We still believe in the ministry they're doing. We just finish our assignment there and we move on to where God leads next. On page 167, she said, sometimes we go to make room for someone else. Sometimes we go because it's best for the church, organization, or our family. Sometimes we go because our calling cannot be contained where we are. Sometimes we go because we're burned out and need a rest. Whatever the reason, when we are called to go, we must listen and move when the Spirit moves. When we stay out of obligation, fear, guilt, or comfort, the grace begins to lift and our favor with the Lord and man starts to wear thin. Obedience is always greater than sacrifice. This is so hard because it means opening ourselves up to criticism. You know that not everyone will understand your reasons. You'll be a quitter to some. Some might never speak to you again. You've been in Bible studies together and really you've been accountable to these friends. So it's hard when they see you now as wayward. You're being unaccountable. You're leaving us. One of the things that Natalie Runyon said encouraged me. She said, nobody can track us or describe our whereabouts. We look lost and unsure and travel weary, but it's here in the middle of nowhere that it gets good. It's in the going that we start building and getting creative, and our discomfort forces a holy maturity that comes with spiritual adolescence and growing pains. That's on page 174. She goes on to say, we can't hang on to our parents. We can't rely on a decade of experience or a fancy resume or portfolio. When God takes us off course to blaze a new trail, it looks crazy and leaves people scratching their heads, wondering why we'd leave the familiar for the unknown. She said, I guess the only answer is I'd rather be in the unknown with Jesus than in the familiar without him. Wow, that was good. Transitions can be challenging, especially when they involve leaving one church for another. Sometimes the preserving of our faith means making courageous decisions to move from one faith community and maybe one that doesn't even any longer align with our spiritual beliefs or our values or our needs and moving to another. Or it might just be simply that, like Natalie said, God's taking us to a place for a rest where we are just going through a different season for a while and then we're waiting for him to tell us our next. If you were raised your whole life to believe that it's wrong to go somewhere new for church for these reasons, then it might feel terrible if you're considering going somewhere else. Perhaps you were taught that this is consumeristic Christianity. Consumerism is prevalent, yes, but you know your heart. Churches are not one size fits all. Each congregation has its own unique culture, traditions, and beliefs. And maybe when you started out there, that was the culture you needed. And just as people have different personalities and preferences, they may also resonate with different styles of worship and teaching and community engagement. And as you grow and change, maybe you need something different. Making a switch to a different church can be a way for individuals to find a better fit for their spiritual needs. Or it may be that you are just ready to serve and there's a place for you to step into there. I know that there's going to be all kinds of pushback on this, and that's okay, because you get to have your opinion on this. And so if this is really a troubling topic, I'd love to hear your thoughts. Jump over on Substack after this comes out and leave a comment, because I would really love to have a discussion. Here are some things to consider if you're in this place where you're wavering and wondering what to do next. First, reflect on your reasons for considering a church transition. Are you seeking a deeper spiritual connection, a more inclusive community, a place where you can serve and be served in meaningful ways? Then approach the process of finding a new church with prayer and discernment and an open heart. Trust that God will guide you to a place where you can continue to grow in your faith. Then give yourself permission to grieve the loss of leaving a familiar church while also embracing the excitement of discovering a new spiritual home. Recognize that change, though it's challenging, can lead to new opportunities for growth and connection. Leaving a church community can really be emotional, and it's a complex decision for many people because it evokes feelings of guilt and sadness and uncertainty. Then this is because church is not just a place of worship, it's really a spiritual home where relationships are formed and nurtured. And so unless you've just been going and attending and running out before the last song is finished, you've built some relationships somewhere. However, there are times when leaving is not a sign of abandoning, or it's not faithlessness, but rather it's a response to God's call and leading us somewhere new. When we look at the Bible, we see numerous accounts of individuals being called by God to leave behind their familiar surroundings and embark on a new journey. I find those encouraging. Abraham was called to leave his homeland and go to a place that God would show him in Genesis 12. Moses was called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt and into the Promised Land in Exodus 3. The disciples were called to leave their possessions and follow Jesus in Matthew 4. In each of these instances, leaving the comfort of the known was a prerequisite for stepping into God's plan and purpose for their lives. Similarly, when we feel a stirring in our hearts to move from one church community to another, it might be God inviting us to a new season of growth or service or just alignment with His will. Just, will I listen? This call to leave can manifest in various ways. So sometimes it starts with just feeling disconnected from a church's vision and values. Or we sense a deep inner restlessness that can't be ignored, and maybe we can't explain it. It's just there. It could be a prompting from the Holy Spirit guiding us toward a place where we can use our gifts or our talents or our abilities, or where we can find a deeper sense of spiritual nourishment and community. Whatever that is, it's really hard to write it out and define it, because sometimes you can't define it. You just know. It's sometimes just this deep sense of knowing what God is, He's doing something. When we surrender our fears and those doubts to God, He can transform our feelings of insecurity and even the loss into opportunities for growth and renewal. And it really brings us to a place of deeper intimacy with Him when we're trusting Him and not having certainty about something. So for me, right now, we're in this place of feeling like it's a new chapter in our spiritual journey. I'm not looking for a spiritual high. I'm not looking for an emotional experience. I am not looking for a honeymoon experience, because I know that is not where spiritual maturity is found. But I am looking for this sense of God's presence being palpable and His calling being unmistakable. And that's why we're taking this time, my husband and me, in seeking God. Ultimately, like I said, leaving a church is not forsaking one community for another, but following God's call wherever He may lead us. And in a sense, that's a declaration of faith and trust in His sovereignty, knowing that He's leading and preparing the way and guiding our steps toward this abundant life that He has promised. And we don't even know what those steps are going to involve. Let's talk about finding peace in a place. If you're feeling guilty about the choice to change churches or even guilty about thinking about it, here are some things to consider as you navigate this season of transition. First, God's presence is everywhere. It's essential to remember that He's not confined to a specific building or congregation. He is present everywhere. His love and guidance are found in any church community. There are people who are solid believers in those other churches too. So trust that God will lead you to a place where you can continue to grow in your faith and serve Him. But if you're seeing like, oh, He's only present in this one particular church, then that could be exactly why He's challenging you to go somewhere else and see that He's there too. The other thing that's really important to remember is that we're all on the same team. We're not switching cell phone plans like from Verizon to Cricket Wireless. We're not trying to steal people away from other churches. This is not that kind of thing at all. There are different flavors of how we do church, but we're all part of the body of Christ. The concept that all churches who believe in Jesus play on the same team is really important. It's despite the denominational differences. This underscores that fundamental truth that we're part of the body of Christ. So let's not forget that we're all various members with different functions, as 1 Corinthians 12 talks about. And this imagery highlights that interconnectedness, that unity that we have with others in Christ, regardless of denominational affiliations. So yes, there are distinct traditions and practices and interpretations of Scripture, but the core belief that Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior is what unites Christians across different churches. So as we look at Jesus, we look to Him as the way, the truth, and the life, which it talks about in John 14. And this is the foundation of our unity in Christ. We're not competitors. Just as the human body is made up of all different parts that work together for the overall well-being of the body, these diverse denominations within Christianity are meant to complement and support one another in spreading the message of the gospel and advancing God's kingdom on earth. So instead of focusing on all the differences that may divide us, we want to emphasize that common bond in Christ and strive toward that unity and collaboration in fulfilling the Great Commission. Ultimately, this idea that all churches play on the same team when we are believing in Jesus really underscores that importance of honoring the diversity within the body of Christ. And it's all with the idea of keeping that spirit of love and humility and cooperation with one another. So that shared identity in Christ is what binds us together. And so if you're thinking about leaving one church for another, you're just taking those collective efforts to a different place to serve, but you're still on the same team. Another thing to consider is that embracing growth and change is good for us. Change can be uncomfortable, but it's often essential for our personal growth and spiritual renewal. Embracing the opportunity to step out of your comfort zone and experiencing a new church community can lead to new perspectives, new friendships, and new opportunities for service. It's really uncomfortable at first, but when you do it with that intentional growth in mind, then we can embrace it instead of being afraid of it. I also want to remind you that your spiritual well-being matters. It's important to prioritize that. So if you're really struggling to feel supported and encouraged and challenged in your faith, and if your current church is not doing that for you, it's okay to explore other options. You know that in your current church, there's going to be somebody who's totally excited about their path of growth. And then at the same time, there will be somebody who is not. So you are looking at your spiritual well-being and looking at what God is asking you to do in order to grow more. That's part of what John 15 talks about with remaining in Christ. We're remaining in Him so that we get our nourishment from Him. But there are times where He's going to ask us to serve in different places. And that leads right into the idea that we need to seek His guidance. We don't just jump and go somewhere else. We ask for discernment and guidance as we make a decision. We trust that He will lead us to the right place and that we're going for the purpose of serving in His kingdom. The other thing that is a really tough next step, and this is the last thing in this part that I'm talking about, is that it's important to connect with others. Building relationships with fellow believers in a new church can help ease the transition, and it cultivates a sense of belonging, but it's hard to do. It takes time. I have only a few connections where we're currently attending. We've been there for a little bit now, and I don't have the relationship part all figured out. It feels so awkward to walk the halls of the building and know almost no one there. My husband is making some connections, so he knows people, but it's really different to walk around and just see faces of strangers and only know a very small handful of people. And I know that those connections are important. And so that is definitely part of this next step for us, because without that, it just is going to church and sitting in a pew. So what's different about this searching for a church in this phase of life for me and for my husband? Well, we've changed. We're no longer the college-aged kids who we were, you know, like 30 years ago, a little more than that, 35 years ago, who were looking for a church where the people felt kind of like those parental figures. We are the older people now. We are looking for being those people to somebody else. And so what we look for now and what we looked for then are not the same. Now, this episode is not intended to be this whole treatise on why you should leave your church and go somewhere new. It's meant to be a support if you're feeling restless and you're weighed down with how you should feel about it, and you're just not sure what to do with those feelings. So I encourage you to embrace this opportunity for change with faith, hope, and an open heart, knowing that God is with you every step of the way. Maybe you'll stay, maybe you'll go, but it's okay to think it all through. In Raised to Stay, Natalie Runyon said, "In every church and organization, we will find brokenness. Broken men, women, families, circumstances, broken policies, procedures, relationships, broken hearts, broken spirits. It isn't a matter of if, rather when, we will come face to face with this reality, and often it takes us by surprise. We look at the shattered pieces all around us and become overwhelmed by the damage. If we, those of us who have been raised in the church, don't understand what to do with it all, how can we expect a watching world to comprehend the carnage?" This is on page 52. She's saying not to expect a perfect church. She says this, we're all one bad decision away from shattering the perfect stained glass image others have subconsciously painted us into. That's on page 53. I think that's one of the biggest changes for me as somebody who's a little more mature in age, you know, got some gray hairs coming there. It's that I'm not expecting the things that I did at one point in my life. And so I definitely can stay in a place where I'm not, you know, like all the boxes aren't checked. I can go to a place where all the boxes are not checked. But deep inside, I know that there are broken people, and I know that I have my own brokenness. And I think the most important thing for me to remember is that we're all serving one another, that we are there to serve broken people. And so I'm not looking for this fake expectation of where there is no brokenness. But I love what Natalie Runyon says, where she continues in the quote that I just read to you. She says, "It's in the going that we start building and getting creative, and our discomfort forces a holy maturity that comes with spiritual adolescence and growing pains. We can't hang on to our parents. We can't rely on a decade of experience or a fancy resume or portfolio. When God takes us off course to blaze a new trail, it looks crazy and leaves people scratching their heads wondering why we'd leave the familiar for the unknown. I guess the only answer is I'd rather be in the unknown with Jesus than in the familiar without him." She says, "We can safely sit in a pew and check boxes to make people happy, or I can go and do what I know God is asking me to do, even if nobody understands it." Are you restless? The decision of whether to stay in your church is a deeply personal and complex one. It's going to require introspection, prayer, seeking guidance from trusted mentors and spiritual leaders. Wrestling with this decision can be challenging, but remember that the church is made up of imperfect individuals striving to grow in their faith. Ultimately, prioritize your relationship with God and listen to where He may be leading you. Trust that He will guide you in the right direction, whether that means staying in your current church or pursuing another path. Remember, God's plan for you is always good, and His faithfulness will never fail. I'll be starting a discussion on this on Substack. So if you want to find that, the shortcut is just to either go to Substack and look for Life Repurposed, or just go to liferepurposed.me, and then you can look at the chat there and you can look at the notes, and I would love to hear your thoughts on that process of deciding, should I stay or should I go? Thanks for listening to Life Repurposed. Would you like more? Check out the Life Repurposed magazine on Substack and get resources, weekly musings, and conversations with others. Just go to liferepurposed.me.